second class, Thomas
Blog Talk Radio.
In Colorado Springs, saying he wanted to save the family he found during the November 19th shooting. He expected to recover from injuries sustained in the shooting. WhatsApp is rolling out a feature that lets you chat with yourself. It's called Message Yourself and lets users share info and reminders to be easily checked later. It'll be on all Android and iPhone devices in the coming weeks. Stocks are opening lower on this Cyber Monday after a winning holiday week. At the opening bell, the Dow Industrial Average was down about 100 points. I'm Michael Kastner. The world-famous Rockefeller Center Christmas tree will be lit Wednesday night, ushering in the traditional start of the season. More from Sarah Lee Kessler.
The lights on the 82-foot, 14-ton Norway spruce will be flipped on during a televised ceremony on NBC beginning at 8 p.m. Eastern on Wednesday, so you can watch it from the comfort of your couch. And if you're looking for a more exclusive experience, you can buy VIP tickets for $585 a pop.
Thanksgiving has come and gone, which means many families are starting to put up Christmas lights. It also means emergency room doctors see a rush of head injuries as people fall off of ladders.
Depending on the height you fall from, you know, the higher the height, the more risk there is to a more serious injury.
Dr. Ralph Ribello heads emergency medicine at San Antonio's University Hospital. He says if people lose consciousness from a head injury, they need to get help right away. Twitter is expected to launch its delayed verified service this week with a different colored check depending on the type of account. New owner Elon Musk says there will be a gold check for companies, a gray colored one for government accounts, and the existing blue check mark for individuals, whether they're a celebrity or not. This comes after a brief launch of an $8 per month blue check was halted after several celebrity accounts were spoofed. What started in 2002 as just Art Basel Miami Beach has gone into a full week of fairs, shows, and other events. Miami Art Week is underway.
It touches the entire community. Everybody that I can think of in every walk of life is affected.
Greater Miami Convention and Visitors Bureau's Bruce Orzos calls it an economic engine for the county. Gas prices are down slightly as holiday travelers make their way home and the work week begins. AAA puts today's national average at $3.54. Michael Kastner, NBC News Radio.
The holiday season is here, and if peace and quiet is at the top of your wish list, you'll love Casper's selection of mattresses. Save up to $800 online or at a participating store near you. Exclusions apply. See Casper.com/promo.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Basile and Transformation Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome. This is Dr. John DeMartini. This is one of the most amazing and inspiring shows that you can listen into. If you want to be on the edge of your seats, if you want to open up your heart, if you want to expand your mind, and you want to meet incredible people, stay tuned because you're just about to experience a transformative radio show that will change your life. And you're listening to the Dr. Pat Show is coming up right next.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. Talk radio to thrive by. Powerful, inspiring, and coming to you live, bringing you stories of people like you and me, busting through and living life full out. Get ready to dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail.
Hey, everybody, welcome. It's so great to have all of you tune us in and turn us on. We got a great show for you today. I'm so thrilled that we're able to connect with all of you. I want to just say I know that these shows, that you're probably listening to these shows 3 months from now because we live in this digital world. And so once upon a time, and I have some old school pictures of us, Denny, where this is coming up on our 20th anniversary in 2023, at least for the Dr. Pat Show. It's our 19th for Benny and me, starting in 2023. And we started to pull together, what do they call them when you pull pictures together? Scrapbooks. We started to do a digital scrapbook and take a look at some of the pictures, where we've been and where we are. And the reason I'm bringing it up is I remember once upon a time when, and Benny remembers this too, when in order for you to have a message like this, you literally had to be in a studio. Now, there was some people, like on the network that I first started with, that did a digital version of this, but it was by, okay, so shall I say it? I can't even say it, but I'm going to say it. Okay, phone. You did it by phone. That's not even like a term anymore. But I looked back and I thought, wow, this Thanksgiving and this holiday season, no matter what's going on, can we have a movement around gratitude? And as a matter of fact, Jessica, who is also here today, created that. And then I thought about, like, the show today and Linda orchestrating this conversation with, you know, with somebody that knows about transformation, somebody that knows, Janine Thompson, that knows about what it means, speaker, author. You know, her knowledge and what she does crosses multiple disciplines. And I thought about today's show because I thought about the book she wrote. And I was talking with her before the show, Jessica and I were talking with her before the show, that there's never any mistake with the people that show up, especially on Monday, I'm finding, the people that show up and the message they have and how dang appropriate it is. And so what I love about this is that I get to share all that with you. And then I know this other thing, too. I know that if we're talking about something today, it's also on your hearts. And that's really what I love about it. When you take a look at who she is, you know, 911 from your soul or 911 from your soul. However, you know, if you're from New York, you say it differently. But this is what we're talking about. We're talking about this fantastic book, but it's more than a book because this is a woman, highly successful, former Fortune 50 executive. She and I have that in common. But here we are. How are we here? How did we get here? Why are we here? And what is it that we can understand about saying yes to something so much bigger than ourselves, but to do it fearlessly? Mm-hmm. See, that's what today's show is about. This is not just about talking with her about her fantastic book, about what she does in the world, but how do we help all of you step forward fearlessly today? Because this is what she has been doing. She has learned and studied and teaches and helps other people get their mojo on. And I am so excited to introduce her to all of you. Benny, we should have like the round of applause thing that you do, right?
Oh, yeah, we can have that for you. Sure, no problem. Here we go. Yeah, oh, yeah, here we go. Here we go. Here we go. Well done. Okay.
I think you're going to need to get the jackhammer out for this show, too.
Well done, everybody. Wrap it up. Let's go.
Wow, welcome to the show. It's so great to have you here.
Thank you so much, Dr. Pat. It truly is an honor to be with you and your listeners.
Look, I know I've got a lot of questions. I always get questions from the people that schedule these interviews, but that's not the question I want to ask you. There's this interesting contrast. I met Dr. John DeMartini ages ago, and every show I play his words. And I play them because I entered this venue not knowing what I know today. Mm-hmm. I entered this venue in 2003, broken, scared, and just not knowing what to do. And here I am today. I didn't have any clue about this. But I want to ask you this question because you wrote this book, and it's not just a book, but the book that you did write seems to be the pulse of what people need today. I want to know from you, what touched your heart? What challenges, what obstacles did you have to overcome to bring this type of book about the soul to today, to this very moment? What did you have to do?
That's such a great question. You know, Dr. Pat, I always think that we get clues in advance when our soul is ready for the next level of growth. And I did too, all along the way. But particularly, I was given a clue several years ago. I was on vacation in Mexico with a girlfriend, and I heard myself say out loud, I can't do this forever. And when the kids graduate, it'll be time to do something new. But I was shocked because I was in a Fortune 50 job. I loved my job. I loved my family. I loved my life. And it was as if something spoke through me. But probably like many of your listeners, we get these clues. We get these whispers. But it wasn't in line with my human plan. I was like, no, 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 no. It's 4 years too early. And so I persisted. And the intelligence of life is always orchestrating on our behalf. And sure enough, 7 months later, I come back from China on a trip, get called into the CEO's office, and he said, we came up with a brilliant plan. We're going to offer a voluntary, generous buyout to almost all 4,000 employees. And I was stunned being the head of international HR, and I'm like, oh, man, there's so many other ways we can get at cost savings. And I had no intention of taking the buyout. But throughout the 14 days, long story short, I did take it. And even though I ignored that whisper in Mexico, it never stopped. It never went away. I kept hearing it in the middle of the night. There's something more for you. And once we know something, we can't unknow it.
Can't unknow it.
No.
Can't unknow it.
I know, darn it. Sometimes we want to and we simply can't. So here I was, successful yet unfulfilled. And I went on a great search. I was trying to figure out what is that something missing. I should just be grateful. My life is good. I should be grateful. Why can't I just be grateful? I'm a grateful person. And the net of it was the search led me to places I used to make fun of. I was an evidence-based psychotherapist in my first part of my career, working with research, proven, demonstrated efficacy, treating anxiety disorders and the like. And here I was being bribed by a girlfriend with good wine to go to my first yoga class. And I thought, there's no way I can do this. I'm type A. I can't sit still. This busy brain of 70 thoughts never stops. I'm inflexible, awkward. I go to the class and, you know, sneak peek at my neighbor's mat because I had no clue what was going on. And the teacher came up to me afterwards and she said, someday you're going to teach this class.
Yeah.
And inside, another clue, right? I giggled. I thought, no way. But week after week, I came back. I became a registered yoga teacher, a Reiki master. And I became obsessed with mind, body, soul, and spirit, something I had never learned in graduate school. And ultimately, through that, I turned inward. And for the first time in my life, I understood that we were so much more than human beings. You know, we were spiritual beings, souls in a wonder suit of a body. And I knew my job was to be a matchmaker for the soul, to help individuals reconnect with parts of themselves they lost sight of.
Yeah.
But I got scared, like many of your listeners.
Totally.
Right? I started playing small. I went back into corporate because it seemed safer, smarter, more logical. All the experts said go the safe route. And it worked fine for a couple of years, but eventually I left, opened my own coaching business, did some soul work on the side, but I didn't live my truth out loud. And what happens when we start to live in half congruence is our life gets turned upside down in some way.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, right? My goodness.
And that's what happened to me.
Oh, if I could just say, amen, girlfriend, ooh.
Yeah.
That's why I'm so keen. Look, we're going to continue your story. And the reason that I love this is because for almost 20 years, I have been on a journey to figure out what is happening, how I am where I am, how I even lived past age 17.
Mm-hmm.
And you and I come from, we could be two peas in a pod. HR executive,
yeah.
Downsizing, except that I had to implement the downsizing. because of the following reason, and I'm going to read this from your book, and we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about how perfect your message is for where we are now. But there's one thing in the book, and I think, Marcy, I think that this is something that was written. I just highlighted it, so I'm just gonna say. So there's a part in here that it says that your work is pivotal to an evolution, and we're going to talk about what that evolution is. But you have a soul solution, and this is a method that when you think about it, it's for not just empowering people, but to master key spiritual principles in daily living. I got to say it again. Jessica, master key spiritual principles in daily living. And then it goes on to say, you know, in her dynamic exploration of earth view, soul view, and the harmonious ground between them, you will discover soul's presence in all aspects of your life, even when, especially when, it all seems to be falling apart. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk about what happens when you're at that place. Is it really falling apart? Or is it like deconstructing my grandma's amazing meatballs? Let's take a short break, everybody. We'll be right back.
Sometimes being human has its challenges. Our physical health falters, our spirits sag, our dreams don't immediately come to fruition. Welcome to the power of Maximum Medicine Radio. Join me, Doc Martin, in conversations that will blow your mind about healing. In our hit show, Doc Martin addresses the scientific with bridging to the mystical approaches to give you a new narrative about Maximum Medicine. In this live call-in show, we will journey into the extraordinary genius of the human body and talk about other beliefs that impact being your multidimensional self. We seek the seen and the unseen and explore the earthbound and the otherworldly, all with the purpose of calling forth the maximum you. To learn more about Doc Martin and Maximum Medicine, visit www.SharonMartinMD.com.
Join the new earth on the Cornelia Stephanie Show. Tune in each month as Cornelia takes listeners on an odyssey of higher consciousness to inspire, educate, and empower. Cornelia Stephanie is a spiritual teacher, passionate speaker, published author, and founder of the Empower Network. Cornelia guides people on the path of self-healing, peace, and liberation. For more information, go to CorneliaStephanie.com.
Have you been on life's roller coaster trying to figure out what to do next? Then join Greta, me, Yvonne, in the Realm of Being each Friday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Take the dust off your wings and fly to the highest heights in your thoughts and actions. Express your greatness. Be a champion for yourself, and we'll see you there on Shifting Impressions Conversations with the Realm of Being.
Are you looking for a way to break old habits that are holding you back from reaching your true potential and living the life you deserve? Well, look no further than Dr. Loretta Phillips. She is a clinician and a relationship and mental health coach that will assist you with reaching your purpose. She will hold you accountable so that your desires are now a reality. Connect with Dr. B at CultivatingYourLife.com and find your path today. That's CultivatingYourLife.com.
Tune into the Life Strategy Show with your life strategy mentor, Lolita Smith, and say yes to bringing prosperity and success to your future right here and right now. Life is a picture of your mind, and Lolita is here to help you imagine it. Say goodbye to the strings of the past that have been holding you back for far too long. Rise up with Lolita and say yes to the solutions, prosperity, and unlimited possibilities. Visit LifeStrategyMentor.com. That's LifeStrategyMentor.com.
Thank you.
everybody. Welcome back. It's so great to have all of you tune us in, turn us on. As usual, you know we're taking your questions, and this is a show you're going to want to ask those questions. 1-800-930-2819. When you are looking at a life's path, I don't even know what the language is because I'm still a student. I'm still learning. I don't come from a place just like my guest today. You know, I don't come from this place. I questioned everything. I didn't understand yoga or sitting and being. I didn't understand any of it until one day I was given an opportunity. Before we continue, please, how do we find out about you? How do we get a copy of the book? And anything else you'd like to share with us about how people can continue to engage with you?
Thank you. You can find me at JeaneThompson.net. And you'll see there's lots of different ways to work with me. And I just love to hear from you. So pop me an email. And I, you know, would love to interact with you. You can also follow me on Instagram, _JeaneThompson. You can get the book at Barnes & Noble, Amazon, your local bookstore if you want to support your local community.
Yeah. Thank you, Jeanine. I can't thank you enough. Look, I read something before the break, and I want to get into it. There is no mistake that I'm talking to you today because all of us, it doesn't matter who you are listening. You know, it doesn't matter if you feel like you're down and out. You all have heard me tell stories about what it was like to be homeless. But there are moments in my life and moments that happen very unexpectedly where we start to feel like it's just coming apart. Yeah. And it doesn't make sense because you have to ask yourself, maybe, I'm going to ask you what you ask yourself. But you say, well, wait a minute. If it's like a cosmic joke, you know, is this something that we're building for 20 years now only so it could crash and burn or for some aspect of it to really be not so good? Mm-hmm. So let's talk about this because you and I both come from backgrounds in psychology. Tell me, for you, from your perspective and from the book, what kind of tricks is our mind trying to play on us here? What is going on up there?
Yeah. Well, listen, you know, I kind of distinguish between an earth view mind and a soul view mind.
Thank you.
So in our earth view mind, in those 70,000 thoughts a day, it comes from our conditioned self, what I call the false self of personality and ego that's been really trained by society. We look for what's wrong. Everyone feels like they're not enough in some way. So if we're trying to solve a problem from the earth view, like I was when I was playing small, I thought I'm just going to go the safe path and do traditional coaching, which isn't the role the universe asked me to play, despite its enormous value, right, for many. So that's our earth view, and that's where we get stuck. That's where we're told don't get too big for your britches. But when you can learn how to soften and empty those busy brains and shift your awareness from the rat race to the core of the wisdom center. I always say one hand on your heart, one on your belly. You know, we follow touch, Dr. Pat. And so the second we touch our body, we're already leaving our earth view mind and coming into the core of our wisdom center. And the tricks will stop when we start to commune with this inner genius. I call it soul. We can call it inner genius. The Greeks call it entelechy. It's the entelechy of an acorn seed to become an oak tree, a caterpillar to become a butterfly. So let's not get caught up on the label. Let's just know that in the core of your being, sacral to heart, belly to heart, you truly already know your answers. But most of us won't leave our busy brain because we're taught to fix it, avoid pain, do whatever you got to do, but get on it. And so we've lost touch with the part of you that already knows your answer. Right now, for every one of your listeners, internally, they know that answer, the plan, the path. And the arc is, how do we live from that soul view versus this very conditioned earth view that always keeps us stuck?
Boy, I'll tell you, this is a message for the time we live in now. Thank you for using the word intellige, because I first heard that word from my friend and colleague, Dr. Jean Houston. And, you know, I wasn't kidding about the fact that I am talking to you today because I was really down and out, you know, down and out in L.A., but this was down and out in Seattle. Mm-hmm. And on paper, there was nothing on paper that would have said you feel like this. There wasn't. Mm-hmm. There was nothing there. There was research, award-winning dissertation, award-winning postdoctorate, blah, 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 blah.
Details from the outside look.
Exactly. Yes, that's it, right? But how should I say it? Something was off.
Yeah.
And it was so off that I didn't hear the language of the soul. As a matter of fact, I'm trying to bring myself back in time because, you know, here I am today and I can talk to you about this. But back then, I didn't know what I didn't know, and I still don't.
Yeah.
But I want to ask you this question.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much you've written in this book. There's so much you share with us, right?
Mm-hmm.
You talk about so many beautiful stories, stories of service, mm-hmm. story of discovery.
Mm-hmm.
We today, I think, have a responsibility, those of us that are in, shall I call us, the human potential arena.
Yeah.
I feel like for us here at the network, we have a responsibility to do our best to help people and give them a hand up. And the way I do it is through shows like this.
Mm-hmm.
What was, in my friend Jean Houston's language, what was the tipping point for you?
Mm. The tipping point was when I just about crashed and burned my business because of my refusal to listen to my deeper truth. I was building programs that, by the way, people were making tons of money, getting lots of reach, nada. Nothing would take lift. And you can see that as a disaster, a challenge, a crisis, but I knew, and I believe with every bone in my being, that the universe is conspiring for us. And it wasn't actually a challenge or crisis. That was the narrative in my 70K. What it actually was the greatest invitation of my life to own my truth out loud in service to others, learning how to reconnect with not only the deepest truth within, with this infinite intelligence, a database, if you will, that already exists within us or we can connect to beyond us. But I had to, just about crash and burn my business.
Yeah.
Before I was willing to surrender into the darkness. And this time I did it different. In the past, it was always fix it, Thompson. You're great at fixing things, so get after it, pumpkin, and fix it. And you're an idea machine. Try them all out. But when I finally surrendered into the darkness, and I remember that day, I was like, wow, the truth was hidden in plain sight all along. Everything grows in the dark. Our plants grow in the dark. The roots, you know, system grows in the dark. What if I just actually didn't try to fix it and I asked questions in the dark? What if I just allowed divine right bubbling up of the path versus being my usual view, Janine, that wanted to go 100 miles an hour and fix it today? Like, how about right now? And so, you know, that was a game changer for me. I learned how to create space because in this busy world, we're constantly double tasking. We're exercising and we're listening to audiobooks or shows. We're cooking and we're talking. We're doing all of these things And we leave our highest potential on the table every single time we're going to suboptimize when we do two things at once, even though we may think we're good at it, right?
Yeah.
You know, I used to see myself as a master of multitasking, single mom in a plane 300,000 miles an hour, medical issues, man, I've got it. But I had to relearn the myths of society. I had to relearn and change my narrative that I could not be still, that I could not be patient or allow some invisible, unproven source to be the lighthouse of the next becoming, the next chapter, my next level of service, right? So there was trust and surrender, and in that, the most beautiful thing starts to happen. We see in the dark with our light within. You literally sometimes can start to see light in the dark if you're an avid meditator, but at minimum, you'll feel the light.
Yes.
One day, the inspired thought comes, or you tune on a show like this and you're like, that's it, right? Or, you know, it will come in divine timing. And for me, I didn't follow that a lot of times. I wanted Jeanine Thompson's human timing, and I was going to push it, and I was going to slug through and just try one different program, because certainly that was going to be the thing that did it. So it came to a point where I was down on my knees and just simply had to say, okay, I give. Show me the way.
Yeah. This is really, for me, this is what we're going to talk about when we come next. And for those of you out there, this is going to be the last break we take, because there is so much in what you just said that is so critical to all of us. And it doesn't matter if you have a giant dream or not. You know, some days you're thinking, how am I going to get through my day, get up, go to my job?
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a part in your book, and I want to talk about this when we come back. You and I share something very, very common about a particular word. And when we come back, I'm going to talk about it, because when I made a statement on air close to 20, let's see, about 14 years ago, I made a statement on air to somebody. And now I understand why they reacted to it. So there's a word in the book you and I completely have the same point of view on. We're going to talk about that when we come back. But for those of you out there, think about what I'm just about to say to you. Are you feeling lost or unsure about the trajectory of your life and the traditional resources that served you in the past? They're no longer working. So this is right in Jeanine's book.
Mm-hmm.
So think about this. Things that used to bring you joy are falling flat.
Mm-hmm.
You feel persistent yearning, like something is missing. Okay, here's a couple more, right? You run from opportunity to opportunity looking for some trace of your old spark, right? This is the one that literally almost took me down yesterday. You're spending more time rationalizing, denying, or distracting yourself in the hope that your inner discomfort will magically dissolve. This goes on. There's a great list, but this one is my favorite. You are hiding out or playing smaller than you know is possible for you. And I'm going to end with this. We're going to go break. You fear living out loud as who you truly are. When we come back, we're going to talk about that and talk about how you can pay attention to this 911, this soul 911, and what does it do to shift almost every cell in your body.
Mm-hmm.
Let's take a short break, everybody. We'll be right back.
Brilliance already lives inside of you. Come discover it so you can shine brightly in this world. Join me, your host, Adrienne Cobb, Wednesdays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern, during Wild Magic on TransformationTalkRadio.com, and get answers to who you are and where you belong. To learn more about me and the show, visit MyWildMagic.com. Again, that's MyWildMagic.com.
It's time to tap into your divine self through angelic guidance. Join your host, Cindy Smith, and co-host in the Angel Empowerment Show from I Can't to I Can, airing every Monday, 6 p.m. Pacific, on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Learn from four of the best angel empowerment practitioners in the field. Together, they will share experiential teachings and offer live, on-air professional angel card readings and much more. For more information, visit CindySmithAEP.com. Do you get stuck in that someday attitude, living the same day over and over again with no action? The Becoming You Show, big ideas that inspire, impact, and influence your life with Leah Rowling, is for you. Tune in every Friday at 11 a.m. Central on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This show will have you feeling inspired to take action with purpose and intention. For more information and to get in touch with me, visit www.leahrowling.com.
Hi everyone, I'm Dr. Pat. I'm the host of the Dr. Pat Show, and I am the creator of the Transformation Network, doing what we do in the world of positive radio, informed, educated, positive media. Independent radio hosts and independent network have been the face of positive messaging over the past decade. So all of us here have decided we're going to put together an independent network that is going to enable people to bring their positive message of hope, inspiration, and conscious action to the forefront. Help us create a future of amazing, uplifting stories that can be told so we can tell our children and they can tell their children of what hope and conscious action is all about. I want to thank you all for tuning us in, turning us on TransformationTalkRadio.com. You are made for more. I'm Coach Lisa, and I'm here to help you achieve ultimate life satisfaction. Your life matters to the world. Reimagine your future with an individualized life by design approach with my free ebook, The 5 C's of Coaching: Commitment, Clarity, Coachable, Creative, and Change. Find the transformation you're looking for. Go to lisabelt.com. That's LYSABELTZ.com.
Hey everybody, welcome back. It's so great to have all of you tune us in and turn us on. We are really going to dig a little bit deeper in here because there is a point that we all get to where we know what's in front of us in our outer world, our outer mind, our outer, we know it, we're faced with it. As a matter of fact, Jessica and I had an amazing epiphany over the weekend about a number of different things. But do you believe that the universe is trying to trick you? What do you believe? Do you believe that you're out in this world and you're putting one foot in front of the other, but, you know, you're moving towards your heart desire and yet you find one obstacle after the other? It seems like everything's coming apart. Maybe the business you started is coming apart. Whatever that is, have you ever been there? Or it could be something as, my gosh, how am I going to get through this and work a job and still deal with issues of COVID and my children staying home from school? See, all of that, they're just things. But the way you feel about them, boy, it's very real for each of us. Janine, we're not going to take another break, and I want to make sure that people know how to get the book and how to find out more about you. So would you mind telling them that again? Because there's a lot on your website.
Yeah. So, yep, go to my website, playaroundjanineThompson.net. There's a lot of information and free resources for you. There's a special for November and December if you'd like that. Instagram _ Janine Thompson _, and then you can get the book at Barnes & Noble, indie bookstores, Amazon, your local bookstores. Just ask them for the Ingram catalog. Lots of ways, and I love hearing from people, and I promise you I'll respond and interact with you.
I love it. Look, I know that you're like that because you and I are pretty similar. You can't come from the kind of corporate HR background, and Linda as well. You know, Linda is my producer. You know, when I look at the three of us and our corporate HR experience, and especially Linda's job, Linda had one of the toughest jobs on the planet. She was director of diversity management. You know, she spent, days in court for the company. But here's something I want to talk about. I want to get to this place where those things I read from your book, those are great questions that we ask ourselves. But I also want to get to this place of looking at how we can create, you know, this soul ecosystem, so to speak. That's my word, my summary of your book, that takes us from whatever almost crashing and burning looks like to thriving now. Before the break, I mentioned two things, and I want you to talk about them.
Okay. So
harmony and balance.
Harmony and balance. I'll start there, and then we'll get to
go for
how
it.
We do that. All right. So first of all, I think that balance is a myth. I think that it is unachievable, and it actually becomes part of our Earth story narrative of why we think we're not enough, because we're trying to achieve something that is unachievable. What I think is achievable for all of your listeners is harmony. You know, in my life with a really big job on a plane, hundreds of thousands of miles a year, kids with medical conditions, and by the way, I considered them my priority, there was not going to be balance in this. But what there was a very deliberate harmony, so that when I was with my children, I actually was present. I came up with ways that harmony, maybe it wasn't a 30-minute walk, it was 5 minutes with my head out the window and allowing the sun to rejuvenate my body. There, it's the tiny ways, but it is the harmony of, can I be present as the best of who I am, meet the moments with the best of who I am, and drop the balance, but find what the harmony is for you. And by the way, day to day it might shift. What is harmony for me today looks different tomorrow, and give yourself that permission. You're so wise. If we just get out of our narratives and drop in and say, what's my next right? Literally, my next right thought or action, you will always be guided to the harmony you're seeking.
I want to ask you about this as we continue to really go through the book as well. You know, I mean, you use so many great phrases. I think the one that I like most in the book was where you say something like, deep down, I knew I was the one stepping on the hose. I love that expression because that's so visual for me, right?
Yeah.
What happens when you step on the hose? Oh, my God, you, like, cut off the water. But there is just something really important in where you take us on this journey. And I love the part where, you know, you don't say it directly, but there's so many things you say that point to the fact where you are on the edge of crashing and burning, on the edge. Here's the question that I get. And as a matter of fact, I just got a text message on it today. And the text message is, it has to do with fear. Now, this is somebody that listens to my show, like, for a long time, been listening, and says, and is asking the question, when we have thoughts, may I ask you, please, Jeanine, when we have thoughts that drive us to decisions. Everything is abbreviated in text messages, so I apologize, folks. When we have thoughts that drive us to decisions that are based on something we are up, how does that block our soul? This is a good question. How does it block our soul messages to us? And how do we get from fear to trust? Okay, you're going to have to take the rest of the show to answer that. Thank you, Jay.
What a brilliant
It's a great question because that's what's happening to people now.
Absolutely. So first of all, I congratulate the individual who sent you that. Thank you. Because just to even recognize, hey, I know I'm consciously moving from fear, right? So awareness actually is the first question I always say to people. Where are you moving from? Are you moving from your earth-based fear, what could go wrong, this is safe, da-da-da-da-da, or are you taking a moment to pause and literally say, yoo-hoo, I need a little help here. What would love do? What would love say here right now? So in this, we literally have got to introduce a pause. Most of us humans, we operate from automaticity. So in our 70,000 thoughts a day, 90% of them are repetitious. Most of us live and listen to a culture that's all from fear. So you got to give yourself a little grace shower,
yeah,
because society teaches us to move from fear. And I'm here to say, no matter what decision you're making, no matter what you want to know, we always have time to pause for 30 seconds to 2 minutes, drop our awareness from here to heart center, belly center, and simply say, show me what love would do. Show me what love would say.
Your book, I mean, you nail it in the book, because you talk about, you know, 911 that pulls us away, pulls us away, but then pulls us into the pause. You call it the pause.
I love this.
Because Jessica and I, it's interesting, because I read your book and I made a decision for my day today, very different than what it was going to be when I hit my bed. My bed hit the pillow last night, because I always prepare, but then I always look the morning of. And I must have blew right by this part in the book. And as a result of it, I changed my day. Today was supposed to be a day for me to go into our office, go into our studio, But I realized that's not what my day today is going to be about. Yeah. Whatever it is, the fear that has that creeps into our lives, if we are driven by that, if we make decisions by that, then we are always backpedaling, so to speak.
And
right?
We're cleaning up messes.
Cleaning up the mess.
You know, I said I was moving from fear. I lived in half congruency. And I'm telling you, for all of your listeners, if there's something you know that you don't really want to know, and you live your life in half congruence, things are going to get louder and harder. And instead, just like Dr. Pat actually beautifully just modeled for us, we don't have to figure out the darn day. That is a myth. We all get up and we script the day. Get up, get your coffee, take your dog to the bathroom, get your kids, whatever you need to do, and actually just tune in and literally ask, what do I need to see today? What do I need to hear? How might I be a lighthouse? Show me the way. And if you could make it, I joke with the universe. I'm like, seriously, you're going to have to make this one a little loud and obvious, because I am so stuck in this thick head of mine right now. So I'm playful with guidance, but I promise you, the more you start to just interact with this invisible, yet extraordinarily, infinitely powerful self that, oh, by the way, is already you right now. We just were never taught that. No. Everything we've been taught moves us away from the sacred, infinite nature of who we are within to observing all day long. The universe is going to send you love notes. Wake up in the morning and go, I cannot wait to see how life is going to send me a love note today. When I'm overwhelmed, I'm scared, I can't figure this out, I'm going to ask a different question.
Yeah, I love this. I want to read from your book if I could.
Yeah.
For those of you, I am reading from the book. If you're just tuning in, Janine Thompson joining me here today. I got to read this, though. Jessica, listen to this. There's a big difference between being genuinely unaware and being in flat-out denial. Many of us have naively walked paths in life that we later realize were not serving us or others well. But wishing you didn't know because you feel unequipped or unprepared, taking half steps when soul is asking you to leap, wait for it, shoving the truth into the darkest corners of your inner covers and burying it with shoulds. Well, the cost is quite different. Your soul knows when the time has come to grow and change. If you insist that you're too busy and that the timing stinks and that the truth is messy and upsetting, that things will magically get better if you just pretend all is well, those are the times when a 911 comes knocking. You cannot hide from your soul. Yeah. Let me tell you how this is such a great message. I found myself, Linda and Karen have this little dog, Sadie. So they got Sadie a tent because she likes little two-year-old Maddie's tent.
Yeah.
So I said to Linda, this is a metaphor. This is how you know something's going on. And I said to Linda, you know what I want? Like, for, do you know what I want for Christmas? I said, I want a tent like you got for Sadie. Now, why would I want a tent? Because there's something so calm about being able to take yourself inside of something that nobody else can get in and just be there. But this thing I read from your book, this is the key. And I want to ask you, in the short time we have left, how do we help people get from there to get to trust and take the leap?
I got to tell you, during my darkest times, seven key spiritual principles called the Soul Solution dropped in. And honestly, in my dreams, everybody would have a copy of that in a bedroom closet, on a door, in their office, because these seven spiritual principles, actually daily, if you just take a look, they're going to help you move from our conditioned false self to your soulful, infinite, inner genius self. There are literally, it's a blueprint to help you live greater coherence. We're still traveling in Earth school, so we still got all of this density, the heightened division, all of the jazz that's difficult around us. But this Soul Solution every day will be your nosh. It will be your light. And if you're willing, you don't even have to believe it right away, because let me tell you what, I would have rolled my eyes years ago as an evidence-based psychotherapist, trust me. But if you simply say, I'm willing to give it a go.
Yeah.
I'm willing to give it a test and try. I promise you, your readers, and they'll see this on my website, people's lives change, not because of me, but because already within you, you read those paragraphs today with your heart.
Yeah.
They touched your body truth. I always say your body truth precedes your mind lies. And when you read them, your body truth went, yeah, that's me right now. Well, you are in fantastic company, because we've got a globe right now who are searching for what the heck is going on. Who am I now? Time's clicking by in a blink of an eye, and I want my life to matter. And these principles will be a daily comfort, a daily lighthouse. You meeting your true self all over again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love this. And, you know, part of this, when people get the book, you all, when you get the book, we're going to make sure you know how to do it. But also, you need to go to Janine's website, because there's a lot there. You know, there are so many things that I was able to pick up. I read your book over the weekend, read it again this morning. I get up really early, and
me
I love
too.
It in the morning.
No shock here.
Yeah, and I just love going, well, I don't know what that is, but I just love going through it again. And I picked up something different, because there were a couple things that happened this weekend with Jessica and I, and it's sort of a direction we're going in our expansion.
Hmm.
And what I'm finding is, and I wonder if you could address this, that I can't think of a time in my life when I have either gone after something or have been in service of something or, you know, wanted to do something where I didn't have these moments that stepped in front of me
mm-hmm.
to tell me, oh, no, you don't. Oh, no, you can't. I mean, I play a sport, table tennis, and
yeah.
every tournament match, that voice comes in and I just kick it to the curb.
Yeah.
But it's so much easier to do that about a little white ball
yeah.
than it is about life.
Yeah.
What have you discovered in the minutes we have left? What can we leave people with today to help them take an action to create this energetic shift now?
Mm. One, I'm going to ask you to change the narrative and say, even though I don't understand it, there is an intelligence of life. We don't make our heart pump. We don't make breath move in our body. There's an intelligence, and I promise you, it'll show up, and every day it's guiding you. So So maybe start your morning different and be purposeful and say, what are my first thoughts going to be today? And if it's a false self thought, like I can't do this today, there's too much going on, I'm too tired, I want you to ask yourself, what would my soulful self say? You don't even have to know what soulful self is. Just say, what would my higher self say? Making tiny little shifts to say, I'm aware, but I'm not going to allow fear to drive me off the tracks or have a bumpier road than I need be. I am meant to live the highest expression of my own unique brilliance in these 8 billion people. And I'm going to start asking the truth of who I am to take the helm of my life.
I love this. My mom used to say to us, girls, don't worry about hell. It's right here on earth. And I'm reading your book.
Yeah. And I say that.
Say that in your book. You say, we all do the best we can. The fear-based mind serves no one. Self-punishment, worry, and fear create a kind of hell on earth.
Yeah.
And boy, we grow up with that. And yet, with all of my mom's wisdom, all the things in front of me, all the things in front of you, that doesn't make us void of the mind.
No, now listen, I still struggle with that too. So when I'm saying make a conscious effort to keep and ask the inner wisdom, make no mistakes. If I do not pay attention, those 70,000 thoughts can have me all wrapped up in fear and in a second, right? But I create the conditions. Every day I go frolic and play in nature. It is where I wrote my book. You might have seen the table in the forest.
Yeah.
But you see, nature, when we take our worries out to nature, when we're on the land, the worries become small. And our soul is made of the same vibration and music of nature. All of a sudden, different ideas will happen. Maybe you'll giggle at the creatures playing tag, the squirrels playing tag. And soon enough, when we soften the worry, love fills every hole. And I promise you, love will give you a message that you can do this. And then your false self will say, I don't think so.
Yeah.
No kidding. This is not going to work. And when that happens, I always say noted. And sometimes I have to say noted 15 times in 15 minutes. But then eventually I go, okay, seriously, you're pretty active. But right now, this is what we're talking about. And eventually, I promise you, it trumps. Love will trump the fear.
Yeah.
All day long.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, what you go on to talk about much more in the book, and I want to thank you. Thank you for so much. For those of you out there, we didn't talk about gratitude and, what Janine calls the nectar for your soul, but that is something we hope you all take away when you get the book. Janine, please, thank you for today. Tell folks how they can get the book and find out more about you.
JanineThompson.net_JanineThompson_ at Instagram, Barnes & Noble, Amazon, Indie Bookstores, your local bookstore. And once again, I just invite you. I got a Connect section contact on my website. Please reach out because it's my highest intention that you meet the person you most long to meet, which is your true self.
Oh, boy. I'm telling you, it is a message for all time. It is a message for this time. Janine, thank you so much for joining us today.
It's been just a pleasure. Thank you.
And so much more in the book that I didn't get to today. There's a lot in here. But I know that there is a consciousness that is out there and aware that we are looking for that thing that we innately know but sometimes forget. And Janine has done a great job of laying it out. I want to thank Jessica for running this show from a TTR perspective, and Benny, as usual, making sure we show up, pushing all the right buttons.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. Contests are the responsibility of the host of this program and not KKNW. This is Alternative Talk 1150 AM, KKNW Seattle, and KNUC 98.9 HD3 Seattle.
And good chilly Monday morning to you. Benny Mathers here for a look at your alternative talk AM 1150 traffic update for around the town. Well, good thing, folks, so far no major blocking or accidents to report at the moment. Some slow traffic on 167 northbound just after Highway 18 going through Kent and the 516. Over on the Des Moines and I-5 side of things, around the 516, it's heavy and stretches all the way back to just before the cutoff at South 216th Street. And heading into downtown Seattle, typical for this morning's rush, is starting to slow up around the mid-Boeing Field on open downtown Seattle on I-5 northbound. It will break free after those downtown Seattle exits, especially after East Union. Stay tuned, coming up next. After the news and weather, it's a conversation of Your Community Matters and Mary's Place, followed by Team Goni Code.
NBC News Radio, I'm Michael Kastner. Analysts expect record-breaking spending on this Cyber Monday. U.S. online shopping is projected to top $11.2 billion, according to Adobe Analytics. That would mark a 5.2% increase over last year's number. Travelers for the Thanksgiving holiday are still trying to make it back home after flight delays and cancellations nationwide because of weather. Scott Pringle reports.
Yesterday was one of the busiest air travel days of the year. Dozens of flights canceled and some 2,500 flights were delayed, mostly because of the weather. LaGuardia Airport led the nation with delays, and about one quarter of the flights out of New York City's area airports were disrupted yesterday. These folks a bit frustrated after flying into Newark Airport.
Going into it expecting to wait an hour and a half and then having to wait 5 and a half is, you know, not how I planned my day.
In Charlotte, first it was raining, and so we had an hour and a half delay, but we were, like, sitting on the runway.
There are more flight delays and cancellations this morning following the long holiday weekend. FlightAware.com is reporting more than 50 cancellations so far compared to thousands yesterday, and more than 1,000 flights have been delayed. The entire city of Houston is expected to be under a boil water notice until at least tomorrow. Still unclear why there was an 8-hour gap between the power outage at a water purification plant and the warning being put out to the public.
State officials were trying to figure out from the city officials what was going on, and nobody in the city knew what was going on.
State Senator Paul Bettencourt says more than 2 million people are affected by the boil water notice. The trial of a former Border Patrol agent accused of killing four women in 2018 is scheduled to start today. Juan David Ortiz was initially going to face the death penalty, but the lead prosecutor recently took capital punishment out of consideration. Gas prices are down slightly as holiday travelers make their way home and the work week begins. AAA puts today's national average at $3.54 a gallon. Michael Kastner, NBC News Radio. There's still no suspect or arrest in the University of Idaho killings as students returned from Thanksgiving break. Four students died after being stabbed in an off-campus home on November 13th. The university's president said in a statement last week that since some students would rather not return to campus until the suspect is in custody, the school is preparing remote learning options for the rest of the semester. As Ukraine continues to call for more Western military aid, defense experts are sounding the alarm over falling stockpiles within the inventory of NATO countries. In Berlin, Trent Murray says the German chancellor has convened a special summit with the arms industry, hoping to rapidly ramp up domestic supplies.
Several media reports, including from the prominent World newspaper, suggest that the Bundeswehr is desperately low on ammunition, with one insider telling the paper that if a full-scale conflict broke out in Europe, Germany could only last 2 days based on its current inventory. While the government has dismissed those reports, senior executives from the country's weapons industry will discuss ways for Germany to ramp up local production directly with the Chancellery Monday.
A number of leading news outlets are calling on the U.S. government to drop the charges against WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange. An open letter from the New York Times, The Guardian, and others say the indictment of Assange sets a dangerous precedent and threatens to undermine the First Amendment and freedom of the press. Showbiz and political figures alike are remembering Irene Cara. Steve Greenfield reports.
The Oscar-winning performer died last week in Miami at the age of 63. She's best known for her role as Coco Hernandez in the 1980 movie musical Fame. Actress and dancer Debbie Allen, who starred in the TV version of Fame and had a smaller role in film as well, tweeted, "Cara was such a gifted and beautiful genius. Her talent and her music will live forever." New York City Mayor Eric Adams tweeted, "Born in the Bronx, she reached for the stars and delivered a soundtrack for the ages."
Michael Kastner, NBC News Radio.
This is Sue Rose Minahan inviting you to tune in to Talk Cosmos Sunday, December 4th, 1 o'clock for Planet Buzz, with special guest Mark Jones from the UK joining our subject, Jupiter's Tribe. an archetype of expansion and challenged by excess, Jupiter's energy is reveling open potential, serving new opportunities for success. So come journey with us, Talk Cosmos, Sunday, December 4th, 1 o'clock, KKNW.
And let's go ahead and take a look now to Alternative Talk weather outlook for Monday. Well, we'll see mostly showers, but when those temperatures decrease from the highs of 36 into the lower 30s, we'll see mixed rain and snow showers in selective areas. That will continue for most of the day. We'll also have some wind out of the north and northwest at 10 to 15 miles per hour, gusting up to 20 in selective areas. Tonight, mixed rain and snow showers will continue, lows down to about 29. For Tuesday and the rest of the week, mixed rain and snow showers, high temperatures in the upper 30s to low 40s, and low temperatures just hovering around freezing.
Please enjoy the following bonus replay of one of our favorite shows. And if you'd like to host your own program at this time or one of the other time slots available, visit 1150kknw.com and click on Be a Star to find out how fun and affordable it can be.
Welcome to Your Community Matters. Hi, I'm Eric Rima. Right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150 and AM 880 KIXI. I would love for you to learn more about these two radio stations, and you can do just that on our website at 1150kknw.com and AM 880 KIXI. That's KIXI.com. Learn about them. I'd really appreciate it. This is a half-hour program. It's really a great chance to meet people doing wonderful things in and for our local community. Today's show is no exception. Visiting me in studio is Marty Hartman, Executive Director of Mary's Place, a wonderful organization helping the area's homeless. Together, we'll be discussing the good work that the organization has been performing. If you care about helping your fellow community members, please stay tuned for this enlightening discussion following this brief message.
There are hundreds of families sleeping outside in our community tonight.
What I hope for is that homelessness would be a word that doesn't exist anymore.
Please help Mary's Place bring families into warmth, safety, and stability. This holiday season, donate to Mary's Place at NoChildSleepsOutside.org today. That's NoChildSleepsOutside.org. Thank you for helping us.
And welcome back to Your Community Matters right here on Alternative Talk, 1150 AM and AM 880 KIXI. Thanks so much for your listenership. We very much appreciate it. As I promised, in studio, I have Marty Hartman. She's Executive Director of Mary's Place. She's here in studio with me, and I'm really excited to learn more about Mary's Place and the good work that you're doing. So welcome, Marty.
Wow. Thank you for having me on today. I'm so grateful and thankful.
I appreciate it. I'm thankful for your time and the great work you do. Let's familiarize our audience with yourself and how you got to become Executive Director at Mary's Place.
Yeah, my name's Marty. I've been at Mary's Place for, I'm going on my 24th year now.
Oh, wow.
And so grateful and thankful to be at Mary's Place and be able to stand in the gap from the moment families are at risk of losing their housing or have already lost their housing.
24 years, so almost a quarter century. That's amazing.
Yeah.
And so you've probably seen a lot.
I've seen a lot in the time that we've been out here and how homelessness has really changed.
And how it's changed. It's certainly top of mind for a lot of people, including our audience. I like to think, anyway, it comes from a place of wanting to help.
You bet. We are there just trying to come alongside families to meet them where they are, help them get their needs met for their children. But I will say, when I started back in 1999, there were not children out on the streets here in our city, in our hometown. And that has really changed significantly, and especially during COVID, right?
100%. And that's especially heartbreaking to think of children out on the streets, particularly when it's cold. It's one thing, obviously, to be homeless in the summertime when maybe the weather's at least nicer. But can you imagine then going into a season where you're just trying to make it through the night, right?
That's right. You have families tucked away at the end of quiet cul-de-sacs, just turning on the heater in their car every few minutes, trying to save gas, but trying to stay warm and to keep their babies alive. I will tell you, we've had a significant 100% increase in the number of children being released from area hospitals, right, that need a safe place to go. Families have given up everything to try to get their children's miracle, and they spend all of their time. They've given their jobs up, then they end up losing their housing just to be with their babies.
So you've been with Mary's Place since 1999, since really its inception.
Yes.
Which is amazing. I mean, I think that's a rare thing for someone to have done that. And I think you have probably a special knowledge of the issue of homelessness in this area, particularly as it affects women and children. So I'm very interested to learn about maybe some solutions you think there might be out there that just are not being utilized. But prior to that, though, can you give us a little background on Mary's Place itself? What it aims to do, how it does it, locations, website, anything like that, so we can start to get a feel for the scope of Mary's Place.
Oh, you bet. Mary's Place has 6 emergency shelters. 5 are for families in King County. We have 720 beds tonight spread across all of King County, welcoming in families, but it's not enough. Mm. And so Mary's Place also has outreach programs where we're out meeting with families in cars and tents, sleeping in the bushes across the street from their child's school, families in parking lots of where they've been evicted and just trying to carry everything they own and get into shelter, but we simply do not have enough room. And now Mary's Place is working more upscale, upstream, to keep families in their homes. We've learned a lot about prevention, especially through the pandemic, and I will tell you, it's the one thing that reduces trauma and will reduce the historical impacts of generational homelessness.
It's interesting you say generational homelessness. So this is something that can go, again, from one generation to the next, provided the cycle's not broken. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, poverty is real, right? Due to systemic racism, systems of oppression, it really impacts the guests that we serve. 80% of our guests identify as Black, Indigenous, or from communities of color, and that's really unacceptable. But because of the practices of redlining, because of practices of systemic oppression in many of our systems, right, from education to health care, we are there standing in that gap, assisting these families. And that is why the one thing that we know is that a past experience of homelessness is really the indicator of future experience of homelessness. Mm. So if you can stop that cycle of homelessness from beginning altogether, then you can prevent a generation of children becoming those chronic single or homeless adults.
So if somebody would like to learn more about Mary's Place, what's the best way? Go to the website or?
Absolutely. Please check us out at www.marysplaceseattle.org.
That's wonderful. I'd like people to do that because we have a very generous audience here, thankfully so. And as we head into sort of the holiday season in the first of the year, I think it's important to share your good fortune if you can. If people go to marysplaceseattle.org, what are they going to see on the website?
You're going to see ways to volunteer. You're going to see a wish list of things that we're looking for, diapers, wipes, formula, coats, socks right now to keep people warm and safe, to keep children making sure that they're remembered. We have gifts on there for the holidays that families will be able to select from at all of our area shelters, and that we'll be taking to folks in cars as well, and that's toys. It might be coats or jackets or sweaters. Whatever folks are needing in their cars, we want to make sure we can get that to them. I will say right now, gift cards are really helpful, right? When you look at the cost of groceries, so a grocery card or maybe gas to keep that car on, to be able to get to where folks need to go to make sure that they have the resources they need.
We talk a lot about, not only on this station, but our other stations in our Hubbard family, about charitable topics during the holidays. But this is a need year-round. So regardless of when people are hearing this show or thinking up in their mind about Mary's Place, they should go to marysplaceseattle.org and learn about ways they can, A, as you say, volunteer. I love the fact that you can sort of pledge items that go right to that person, right to that family, maybe to that child that can help them immediately. I imagine, too, that dollar donations are welcome, too.
We are 90% publicly funded, and so that's critically important that it's our community that's helping their neighbors right here in their hometown, and that money goes directly to keep our programs, our shelters, our staff, our frontline staff operating and in place to make sure families have the resources that they need
with the growing crisis outside.
And coming up on your 25th year, obviously you're doing something very well because you've been able to survive this time. But like anything else, as things constrict, as maybe people aren't putting as much money in their own pocket due to inflation or whatever circumstance, it's important to remind people that the need is still out there for people that maybe are not in the same situation as you in your nice, warm, cozy home.
Folks are looking for a safety net when they don't have that with their own family or extended family. Mary's Place becomes that safety net. And most of the time, it's that one season of your life that you're going to experience homelessness with your children. And we just need someone to step up, to step in, to help with a rent deposit, to help with an ID. Those are where the money is going that you pledge. So please give today. Give generously at marysplaceseattle.org.
Wonderful. I imagine, too, that someone like myself, I've never been homeless. I don't think of all the things that revolve around it. It's not just the fact that, okay, I'm outside or maybe in a vehicle trying to stay warm, but I'm probably also hungry, probably depressed, probably feeling lost. I mean, there's a lot that goes into it, right? It's more than just the physical act of not having a home.
Absolutely. And it's so scary and terrifying for families, right? They're trying to remain invisible. They're afraid because they can't provide for their child that they're going to be taken. And there would be no greater fear than that, to lose your children because you simply lost your address. And so that's where Mary's Place steps in and reassures these families that we're going to help keep you safe. We will get you into shelter when there is space available. But in the meantime, we're going to meet you where you are and make sure you have your needs met. Make sure you have formula and diapers and gas for your car. And make sure you have those housing resources. Because where do you want to live? Everybody knows and has a dream of where they want to live and end up. And so we're going to help you get there to realize those dreams for you.
And that's Mary's Place, marysplaceseattle.org. MarysPlaceSeattle.org. Definitely look at that website. See how you can maybe donate your time, maybe resources, dollars, whatever it takes to sort of help Mary's Place continue to do that great work. And learn about it, too. I like the fact that it's a local charity. My wife and I tend to give more, I would say, to local charities. And I don't know necessarily why that is, but it feels good to know that those dollars are going to people that I feel are in my community.
I love that. Yes, your hometown heroes, right?
Yeah.
Because this work cannot go on without our community responding, and it's really neighbor to neighbor. So thank you for saying that.
For sure. Now, I'd like to get into the broader issue of homelessness itself and maybe learn from you, from your perspective, what you think some of the causes are, where we're at, where were we, say, 10 years ago, where are we at now, and where the issue is going as we move forward? Is it increasing? Is it decreasing? And maybe some solutions, but we have a quick break coming up. So let's go ahead and take that break. When we come back, we'll dive into that weighty subject. How does that sound?
Sounds perfect.
Thank you. Marty Hartman, Executive Director of Mary's Place, will be right back with you. And listeners, thank you so much. If you're enjoying what you're hearing and you find this interesting, please tell somebody, text them, call them, email and just say, hey, you need to listen to this program. Your community matters. We'll be right back.
There are hundreds of families sleeping outside in our community tonight.
My favorite part in Mary's Place, I have my own bed and I have my own blanket.
Please help Mary's Place bring families into warmth, safety, and stability. This holiday season, donate to Mary's Place at NoChildSleepsOutside.org today. That's NoChildSleepsOutside.org.
Thank you for helping us.
And welcome back to Your Community Matters. Hi, I'm Eric Karima. Thank you so much for listening to these programs on Alternative Talk 1150 at AM 880 KIXI. Tell your friends, tell your family about these two great stations. We would love to increase our audience and have more people hear great words like the conversation we're having right now with Marty Hartman. She's Executive Director of Mary's Place. This is a wonderful organization that's helping the area's homeless, looking for solutions. So on that note, Marty, let's get back into the conversation. What is something that people need to understand about homelessness? And what are solutions that really work?
I love that question because each solution is unique to each family, right?
Mm-hmm.
That everyone is out here for a different reason and doesn't need a template solution. We want to work with each family, come beside them, understand their concerns, understand what they're thinking, what they need, and then help them work towards those solutions together, right? They are the one in charge. They know exactly what they need. These families are resilient. They are smart. They are incredible when it comes to being able to provide the resources for their children. There is nothing they won't do to make sure that their children's needs are met. And so at Mary's Place, we look at all of those pieces. We ask the questions. We really make sure that the family is designing the solution forward. And that may mean that they need shelter tonight, right?
Right.
Well, that's it. We're going to work to get them into shelter because Mary's Place does three things. We do shelter, we do outreach, and we do prevention. And with these three, those are the solutions. They do work. Can we first?
Mm-hmm.
That is what we want to do. Let's work together to do that because we know it's an effective and the most cost-effective solution. It reduces trauma. Coming into shelter is traumatic in itself, right? And so we know if we can reduce trauma, if we can reduce the generational impact of homelessness on children today, then we'll stop that generation going forward. So that's one thing. And then two, outreach. If you've lost your home, we want to get to you as soon as we can, knowing that beds are full every night. If we have outreach workers across this county working with families in their cars or their RVs, if they're lucky enough to have one, but they're also in encampments, they're at bus stops, they're across the street from their child's school, where they may be sleeping in the bushes so their child gets to school on time.
Mm-hmm.
They may be in area parks, but we're going to go right to where you are and really work on that solution of what is your housing solution today, because that's what we want to get to. And the third piece is shelter, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you have more barriers that are going to take longer to resolve, we want to make sure that we get you into shelter so that you can continue to work on those. And that's absolutely true for Baby's Best Start. That's one of our programs where we're working with area hospitals to identify those moms that are pregnant or have delivered and can't take their baby home because they may not have access to running water. Well, we have that at Mary's Place. So we want to make sure we bring those moms inside. And then I think I shared about the Popsicle Place program, which is those medically fragile children sleeping outside area. Those are the children that we're prioritizing to get inside tonight so that they have home health care. We're working inside with our outreach program inside area hospitals to come alongside those families to make sure they have a housing solution too.
I find it really refreshing to hear that, A, the organization's flexible. So you know that circumstances change, not only over years, but even in different situations amongst the very people you're serving. So the needs of one, as you said, outside a hospital or outside the school might be completely different than the needs of someone who's in an RV or an encampment over here, this sort of thing. I find that really interesting. And it comes from, I gather, from the way that you listen to the actual people affected by this situation. You're not pontificating from a distance or thinking, assuming you know what the solutions are. You're going right to the problem to find the solutions.
Oh, right. Mm-hmm. Right to our families, asking them, what is it that you need today? They are right. They know exactly what it is that they need. And so we work on that solution together. And I'll say, it's your listeners and it's our community that provides that flexible funding to allow us to do this work, right? That we can pay a deposit, we can pay a carpenter's license, we can pay an expired RN license or food or gas or that deposit because of this flexible funding that our community provides.
That's wonderful. And just that small act, if you will, could have major ramifications for that person down the road. Help them get back into a career. Help them feel that they can succeed. Help them feel safe, right? You had mentioned safety and security. Just having that feeling must be huge.
Right? Having somebody in your corner, having somebody come alongside you. Who doesn't need that when you're at some of the deepest, darkest point in your life?
Right.
You never dreamed you were going to need a shelter, that you would experience homelessness. Nobody thought they were going to experience domestic violence when they got into a relationship, or that their marriage would end in a divorce, or that you'd be evicted from your apartment because of a pandemic, right? Those things happen, and yet people need help and support. So when you have somebody come alongside and say, how can we help you? What can we do better together? That's the important thing.
Well, and that somebody we're learning is actually a lot of people. A lot of people at MarysPlaceSeattle.org. MarysPlaceSeattle.org. Learn about the organization. Learn about the good work that they've really been doing since 1999. That's an amazing thing. So as you've seen that, as you've been executive director and been there since the inception, can you talk about what it maybe was like, say, 10 years ago, where we're at right now, and as we go, you know, a little bit further, what is your hope? What do you want to see happen to, again, continue the solutions?
Our goal at Mary's Place and our mission is that no child would sleep outside, and we've been working hard on that. And I will say 10 years ago, we were, you know, developing shelters by going into empty buildings that are slated for demolition, mm-hmm. and we make them sparkle and shine, and then we move on to the next one. And we've done that 26 times now, different buildings, different communities, everybody loving on our families and making the work possible. And so we need to continue to do that. But that's when we were perfecting that model. It was about 10 years ago. So we scaled up quickly in the number of beds, and there were children sleeping outside. But right before the pandemic, right back in 2019, we were so close to no child sleeps outside. There was every night we were offering a resource to every family that called. And so we felt so good about it. And then March 2020 happened.
Right.
Yeah.
And everything changed.
Everything changed. We had to start closing smaller shelters. We lost 300 beds. We had been at 800 beds. We went down to 500 beds in this community through Mary's Place. And so that hurt us, right? But yet then we had the eviction moratorium. So people were staying in place, right? So that helped us, right? But now that the eviction moratorium is lifted, there are children and families flooding into our streets looking for more resources. The need has never been greater than it is right now. The number of phone calls, the number of desperate families looking for help and support has just grown exponentially in this community. And it is so scary and frightening that we just do not have enough beds. We don't have enough resources. And we need a prevention program that goes statewide to keep families in their homes.
It is not just limited to urban areas. Is that correct?
It is everywhere in every community and every city right now, with scaling rents, with high cost of living, with people still reeling from the effects of the pandemic. These are tough times.
You know, there's many a times I drive through, say, the corridor of I-5, I-90, even around my own hometown, small town I live in. And you'll drive by an area, but then for whatever reason, a day or two later, you make the same trip, and now you're stopped. You're stopped at a light. Maybe it's traffic. And you turn to the right or you turn to the left, and you see that you've been driving by where people live. Mm-hmm. They're living under overpasses, in bushes, along turnouts where they can get their vehicle, their car. And had you not been stopped, had you not taken that fate or whatever, taken that moment to stop you, you wouldn't have realized that that's right there in your neighborhood or that's right there on your way to your commute. And maybe that's what we need to do, is really just take a deep breath, stop, and think, okay, I'm blessed for what I have, but I also know that circumstance could put me in that situation myself. So maybe look to help at this time. And I would appreciate it if everybody would log on to marysplaceseattle.org. That's marysplaceseattle.org. Learn about the great work they're doing, but then take action. Volunteer. Maybe there's product that you can purchase that children need, that women out there need, that men need who are homeless, these kinds of things. And if you just don't have kind of that time, but you want to donate to a local charity doing wonderful work, then just donate dollars. Because I think you can sense from my conversation with Marty, she knows what she's doing. She's been doing this for a while. And I love the flexibility, the way you listen to the people in need, and then how you take action. I mean, I would imagine that the pandemic in and of itself really brought a lot of special challenges that you had to react to. And now you said, even though we're coming out of that, hard times are really happening for people now. And now, I find it really interesting that you say that now the need is the greatest.
Yeah, you see, our country's slipping into a recession, right? That's what they say. And so we always know that that has an impact, and that those that struggle and live in poverty will experience this for long past the recession. So we have to step up now. We've got to learn how to do better to keep families in their homes. And that's what we're on a mission to do, because it is possible. It is doable. there was a lot of silver linings through COVID that we learned. We need to do prevention better. We need to learn to keep families in their homes. There needs to be a sustainable source of funding for that because we know that that reduces the trauma. The need is greater than ever. There are more children, more families sleeping outside ever before in our history. And that's because the eviction moratoriums have set in. The evictions are happening every day. Families are leaving their homes, and many leaving before the eviction. They just don't want an eviction on their record. And so with our beds that are full, we know we need to do things different in this community, and that is leading with prevention. That was a silver lining of COVID. Taught us that we can prevent people from leaving their homes, and we can do better, and we can do different. And at Mary's Place, we're on a path to do just that.
Marty, thanks so much. Let's end on that note. It's perfectly said. But I want to say, sitting across from you during this half-hour interview, I can hear it in your voice, the passion that you have for what you do, the excitement for what you – I can hear that you just are excited for what the future might bring, provided everybody rallies here. And you have the tools, you have the knowledge, you're all ready to go. Just need to keep those resources coming in. So I hope the audience hears that too, because it's such an honest thing that's coming from you. And I thank you for your work, all of the volunteers, all of your staff. It's just wonderful what you're doing at Mary's Place. So thank you.
Thank you for loving us. Thank you for shouting out our need in our hometown. Together, we are better. We can get to No Child Sleeps Outside.
Wonderful. To learn more about No Child Sleeps Outside and other things, other initiatives that Mary's Place is doing, simply go to marysplaceseattle.org. Marty, thanks again for being here. Please look at this. Great local charity. You yourself can help. Marysplaceseattle.org. Marty, actually, we're going to have you back at a future date. There's other questions I had. We'll cover that then. To you, the audience, thanks so much for your time, your consideration, and I know your charitable spirit. We appreciate it on your community matters.
NBC News Radio, I'm Michael Kastner. By all accounts, it was a very good Black Friday on a nationwide basis. While the numbers aren't in yet for traditional brick-and-mortar store purchases, online sales totaled more than $9 billion, and that's a record.
I think traffic was about what we expected it to be, maybe a little bit slower than last year, but that's because a lot of shoppers hit the stores and online sales early.
That's Scott Shalley of the Florida Retail Federation. Analysts say online sales today, Cyber Monday, could top $11 billion. The Colorado Healing Fund has raised over $300,000 following a deadly shooting at an LGBTQ club. However, advocates are calling on the nonprofit to give 100% of the proceeds to victims and their families rather than victim assistance groups. A former Florida State University student accused of killing a couple in their garage 6 years ago and then chewing on one victim's face is not guilty by reason of insanity. Michael Kastner, NBC News Radio.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Team Donico, helping pets and their people. I'm your host, Marilyn Milano. And if you have not tuned in before, then you are in for a treat because Team Donico has been doing amazing work in our community to help pets and their people. And if you don't know about what they're doing, you're going to want to know. And if you do know, we're going to get more information today so that you can share with others. And I always like to start the program by just saying, have you ever been out walking, you know, just walking in downtown Seattle or walking anywhere, and you see someone that maybe looks like they don't have a place to stay and they've got an animal with them? And do you ever wonder, you know, is that animal cared for? Does their dog or cat have food? Are they going to have shelter? It's freezing. What's going to happen? Over 30 years ago, Team Donico asked those questions and started doing work to make sure that the pets of low-income and unhoused people would have access to the care they need. So today what we're going to be doing is hearing from our president of the board of directors, Marty Casey, and she is going to be filling us in on a lot of things that are going on, about the team that's working, what is needed, what the staff is doing, what exactly is happening in the clinic. She's got a lot of fantastic information, and we'll definitely want to share that with other animal lovers and animal supporters in the area. So we will take a very short pause and then come back with our president of the board of directors of Donico, Marty Casey. I'm your host, Marilyn Milano, and we'll be right back.
Donico Pet Clinic provides comprehensive care for the animals of people in need. Funded by donations and powered by volunteers, Donico Pet Clinic keeps overhead to a minimum to ensure healing is at a maximum.
Hi, this is Marty. Please help Team Donico make a difference in the lives of pets and their people. Volunteer or donate today. Donico Pet Clinic. Log on to donico.org. That's DoneyCo.org.
I wanted to ask you if you wouldn't mind just saying, you know, how long you've been coming to Donico Pet Clinic.
We've been coming about 2 years when they were still down in downtown Seattle. They're wonderful. They've saved our dogs and cats many a time. Very kind.
So what advice do you have for people who have pets?
Definitely spay or neuter. Just too many that have to be euthanized or live horrible lives.
It's really great because these folks don't want to have to make that choice, and we're here so they don't have to make that choice because they don't want their pet to suffer or have a medical issue that goes untreated. But if their other choice is to give up the pet so that their pet could be treated, that's a really hard and heartbreaking decision that a pet owner might need to make, and we hopefully provide services where they never have to make that choice.
Welcome back to Team Donico, helping pets and their people. And as I mentioned just a moment ago, we've got some great information that President of the Board of Directors, Marty Casey, is going to share with us. So, Marty, thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to come and talk to us about what is happening at Donico and how people can help.
Thank you, Marilyn. It's always a pleasure to be here. And as any of our listeners know, I love to talk about Team Donico and the work that we're doing. I wanted to be here today because I feel like so much has happened here at our clinic in the past year during 2022. And as we approach the last quarter and what we traditionally in the nonprofit industry call the season of giving, I felt like it was really important to come and try to communicate to our listeners just how important and amazing the work that we do is. This really comes about because a couple weeks ago I was in the clinic and I was sitting in an office that is technically an exam room, and it is has two doors. And I didn't close the door that was the one that led to the treatment room. And I was able to watch two of our vet practitioners take care of some very, very ill dogs. At the same time, I was also up front and wandering up front and talking to some of our clients. And in particular, a woman came in who was a little bit late, and so we fill up so quickly, but we did triage and pat in. And she was so incredibly grateful. And then the pet, the dog, was just the cutest little thing you've ever seen, and apparently it had ingested something that it wasn't supposed to. I think many owners of pets know that when a pet eats something they're not supposed to, that sometimes it can be a lot worse than others, depending on what the pet ate. And the only way that that can be found out is sometimes, you know, some exploration with x-rays and imaging to find out if they will pass it naturally or we need to take surgical intervention. In this case, we needed to take surgical intervention because it can tear the pet's insides if you don't do that in the scar tissue. And it's just, it's not good at all. And it was just the space of this dog was so, so amazing. And then the woman was so grateful and thankful that we were able to help her. I rushed a couple of other procedures. A tooth got pulled that was infected, and then another one was a mast cell removal. And this was all just happening during the course of our weekday clinic. And I was almost in tears sitting there trying to work on my computer, and I was almost in tears. And I thought, how can I communicate this and then ask for help from people? We are the only organization in the Seattle area that offers the the full comprehensive care. There are several organizations that offer wellness care with vaccines and topical issues such as ear infections or skin rashes and things that can be provided. But there is another organization that provides that care, including surgical interventions. And so if your dog swallows or cat swallows something and they need to have it removed and you can't afford to go to the vet, we are the place you come. Well, what that means is we also get a high, there's a very high percentage of cases that we see of clients that come in that have those emergent and critical cases, such as ingestion of strange items, tumors, tooth infections, or other chronic illness. We are desperately trying to meet the demand, and we're still not able to do it. We open our clinic at 9 o'clock, and by 8:30, there are more people than we can serve during any given day. Now, it's great now when we weren't able to do this before, but we are able to say, you can come back tomorrow, or you can come back Saturday. You might want to get here a little earlier. And one of the things we're finding is that our vets that are working many hours and uncompensated doing procedures and taking care of the animals, and we're still not able to meet the demand. And we're also using many more supplies and medications because we are doing more. And not only are we seeing more animals, we're seeing more critical care animals that need the surgical tools or surgical equipment, or we have all the equipment, but there's always, I'm not a vet, so I can't tell you, use the right term for the tools, but sterilization, liquids, and all those type of supplies, bandages and things like that. So I wanted to use the time today to really ask our listeners to help us. We are going into the fourth quarter. I know it's when a lot of people think about how they can give and if they can. It's a tough year this year, and we understand that. The economy is not great, and there are a lot of things going on. But I hope that some people will be able to help us so we can continue offering all these great services.
I think it's amazing what you're doing, first of all. I mean, I never cease to be amazed about the progress that Donico is making and how you've gone from just a couple of clinics a month to these multiple clinics weekly and how many animals you're helping. And I know that you're doing work to help people as well and the pet owners. And so what's happened is that this has burgeoned, and as more people find out about it, more people will be saying, yes, I'm going to need that kind of help. Now, again, you said you're powered by volunteers. I've heard you refer to that before as well. And what exactly does that mean?
Now, that is a great question, because I think I just said that, you know, our team is working, our vet team is working overtime and uncompensated time. We have always, Donico Pet Clinic has been powered by volunteers and has not had any employees maybe a year ago. Right now, we have one full-time staff member who is the operations manager. I'm completely volunteer, more than 30 years, close to 35 years. Donico has been completely powered by volunteers, meaning that we haven't paid people to get this job done. The only way we were able to move into this clinic and increase our services was that we worked with a really progressive local group of veterinarians. And what they do is it's part of their job that they get to come down and work with our clients. So for the vets, they're still paid what they make as part of their salary at the local veterinarian clinics. But as part of their job, they are able to come down and work at Donico and help animals for the end clients that can't afford the vet care. We have one full-time employee, which is a operations manager who does amazing things to get so much done. We probably couldn't do it without her. And then the vets come back, and then for hours that they aren't compensated for from this veterinary group, they come back and will put in an extra 12 sometimes 14 hours a week, seeing more animals. And many of you have heard that we have talked about how tough the veterinary business is right now. So that we are so lucky to have so many people that are willing to put in those additional hours on top of their already long week is it's truly amazing, and I think it says a lot for the work that we're doing. They, one of the things that we talked about, and I have to bring this up because I know that people might be tired of hearing just my voice, but I'm a volunteer, as are most, a lot of the other people that we have working with us. And we've also decided that we're not going to allocate the funds to a marketing staff or a fundraising development person. So what that means is that it's a lot of money for a small organization like us to build a marketing infrastructure or adding on development staff. And its employees are very, very expensive. And we've decided that it's more important that we put those funds toward care of animals. So all donors can be really sure that their dollars are having a big impact, because it's about 90% of the funds go directly to the care of the animals and the surgery and the supplies. So the direct cost there of what it takes to care for that animal, which is pretty amazing. But it also means that we have to compete against all the other voices out there for very worthy organizations who are able to send a lot of emails or buy advertising or, you know, have a PR staff to try to get media coverage. I mean, there's a lot of benefits to having a marketing organization that can help you with those things, but we've chosen not to. So that means that our donors get to hear from me more than anybody else, and probably not often enough, because, you know, frequency is really important to help people remember on all the good causes out there.
Absolutely. I mean, there are. Sometimes it's overwhelming. I mean, I'm an animal lover myself, obviously, and I see so many things where I want to give, and, you know, I'm limited with what I can give, and yet there are so many amazing groups doing such amazing work. So I'm sure that there are people out there that are like, yes, if I had a lot more, I'd give them 50 grand. But if our listeners can't give money, what else can they do? How else can they help your cause?
Well, every listener can help us by being another voice for us. If you know pet lovers or people that care about animals and want people that don't have a home to have some of the same benefits of that powerful bond between a human and animal, share information about us, please. Help us raise awareness. Not a lot of people know about the Donico Pet Clinic because we don't have that marketing arm to get out there and do it. A lot of our clients come to us by word of mouth, and we often say, oh, well, we should do this to advertise, but if we're scared now, if we advertise for actual clients, that we can't meet the demand that we're generating by word of mouth. But if you know people that are interested in this, and they might be able to help us. And I don't want to ever have people think that, you know, $5 makes a difference. Any amount makes a difference, because if everybody gives $5, it's amazing what can be done, how many supplies that can buy, how many Band-Aids or surgical Band-Aids that can fund. And all of those things, as everybody's heard, medical supplies are very expensive. So just by helping us raise awareness is an incredible gift that people can give us.
Oh, I definitely think so, too. And, you know, you're right, because I've talked to people about the work I do with you on the show, and I would say the majority of people I talk to, many who are animal people, are not aware of the work you're doing. They're not aware of Donico. Now, that doesn't mean that you don't have a good footprint in the area or that a lot of people don't know.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much upside for people to learn about what Donico is doing and to help. And as you said, $5, I mean, some people are like, well, I want to give to 10 causes, but I've only got $50. Well, you can spread it around.
Right.
Back in the old days of of Whole Foods, they used to ask if you wanted a dime back if you brought your own grocery bag. And I never took my dime back because I knew it would get lost in the bottom of my purse, but I knew if 5,000 people gave their dimes back to Whole Foods for the cause of the week, that it was going to add up. So we can never underestimate the power of how even the small donations make a huge difference. And the more people help and the more people spread the word, the more people will know what you're doing and more can be done. And that's the whole point. You know, it is helping more animals and their people and getting the word out there. And as it grows, more people will become aware and more people will want to be part of it.
Yes, and that's what we're hoping. We're hoping that if you have a friend, you will share it with a friend. And your energy and enthusiasm is better than any marketing program. So that's what I say to our listeners. Your energy and enthusiasm will help support this cause. And it's much more genuine, and I think it has more impact than any, well, certainly any marketing program that we would be able to put money towards. So, but I think almost any, when there are people that you trust advocating for a cause, you're more likely to learn more about it. And we have just put up an article that we had in Real Change newspaper at donico.org and under the news section. And that really also gives a good explanation of what we have done this year. And I've promised my team we won't do anything else in the next 3 months that's new. So we won't have anything new till next year, I promise.
Well, there's a lot going on right now, and it sounds like there's a lot of room to just help with the programs that are in place. And again, you've had some folks that have shared generously, and for all the people listening that haven't been familiar with DonyCo, or maybe they are, but they just haven't, they thought, well, my donation will be tiny. No, it all adds up, and it's all going to this cause. And as you described that little dog that needed the surgical procedure, I mean, the look in the animals' faces, the look in the humans' faces as they're realizing that you're going to do what you can to help their beloved pet, those things are priceless. And that's what this is leading toward. It is helping one animal at a time, one person at a time, and that's how the work gets done. And so, again, just, Marty, thank you for all that you and DonyCo are doing to help the pets and their people in our community. It's appreciated. It's great work. I know that if you haven't been to the website, there is a lot of information there. That's donyco.org, DoneyCoe.org. And if you need to reach out or have questions, you can always do that through the website. And is there any other contact information that folks need to know about, Marty, or is that pretty much the best way to go about it?
No, you can. The website will direct you. If you want more information, you can send it to info@donyco.org. But I will also give you my email address. I'm happy to answer any questions or show you the clinic if you want to get a tour to see how your valuable funds will be spent. And I'm always more than happy to talk about DonyCo with you. We can do a phone call or a Zoom. And my email contact is marty@donyco.org, and that's DoneyCoe.org. And Marilyn, thank you for letting me share news about this great organization.
It's so good to hear good news, and it's so good to hear the good things people are doing, because sometimes what we see in the world can be overwhelming in the negative and make us feel like there are no good people left and what's happening and we're going to heck in a handbasket. And yet there's all this stuff going on. People need to be aware, and we need to keep doing it and making it bigger and better and helping more. So thank you so much. We're going to take a very short break. Thank you, Marty. And then Eric Crema will be on with another episode of Celebrity Pets. So do stay tuned. I'm Marilyn Milano, your host of Team DonyCo, Helping Pets and Their People. We've been talking with Marty Casey, president of the board of directors, and we will be right back with Eric's segment on local celebrity pets. So don't go away.
This is Marty. Please help Team Donico make a difference in the lives of people and their animals. Donico.org. That's DONEYCOE.org.
Mine, she's 9 years old. We got her fixed, so we're just coming to get there.
Three dogs. What type of dog is that one?
She's a Yorkie-Chihuahua mix.
And this one?
Is a Husky Red Heeler.
Overwhelmed right now because it was such an awesome experience. I mean, gee, they took good care of him, and I was didn't know where to do, what to do, or where to go. Real grateful. Thank you.
I got a cat. She's like a tabby, red tabby.
And how long have you had the cat?
It was a gift from my church.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And have you used, is this your first time?
No, this is my second time.
Second time?
Yeah.
So what did you bring your cat in for?
I bring him for the booster shot, for the second shot.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what do you think about the services?
Oh, I love the service. It's a good place to bring your animals.
And how long have you had your cat?
A couple months.
Would you recommend this for other people?
Oh, I do all the time. I do all the time.
Coming up next on the show is a special feature courtesy of your friends at Team Donico. It's Celebrity Pets with Eric Crema.
On today's Celebrity Pets, I'm talking with Paul Silvey, well-known King 5 sports reporter. Welcome to the studios, Paul.
Great to be here, Eric. Thanks.
I appreciate your time and must say coming in via Zoom. Got to give Zoom a little bit of props there. Paul, tell us about the animal or animals that you have there in the Silvey household.
We have two cats.
Oh, two cats.
Male and female tabby cats. One is Potter and one is Priscilla.
Potter and Priscilla. Did you get them both at the same time?
Yeah, we went down to Tacoma Rescue about 5 years ago, 6 years ago maybe, and Priscilla was sticking her head out of the cage. We wanted to get a couple of kittens, and she was sticking her head out of the cage and kind of looking at me, and I said, oh, I told Sally, my wife, stand right there and make sure no one gets her. And then so then there was another one that Sally saw on the Internet, and we hadn't seen him. So real quickly, she was going to just – we were going to head out with just Priscilla, and Sally found a spot where some of the shy kittens were, and the one she wanted was in that room. So we were able to snag Potter on the way out, and I got lucky. So the two of them have been in our lives ever since.
That's great. You got kind of a two-for-one deal there.
Yep.
And I don't know much about cats, to be honest with you. Now, is it better to have a male, female to get along a little bit better?
I think, I don't know if that makes much of a difference other than the fact that they were both basically the same age. And I didn't know anything about cats, really, because Sally's the big cat person. And I was always a dog guy. And, mm-hmm. So I was a little hesitant about bringing two cats in and starting that up. But I'll tell you what. As an older guy with a little less time for taking the dog for walks and things like that, I love having cats. They kind of do their own thing, and they love you to death, and they don't need you to help them do things. So.
That's true. It's kind of everything's on their time, right?
That's right.
It's like, oh, you're home again? Okay, I'll come over and see you.
Yeah. Huh.
Great names, too. How'd you pick the names?
Potter was named on the tow rescue site, so
okay.
His little face popped up, and they had already called him Potter.
It's a good name.
Priscilla, we got just randomly. I'll tell you this. I don't know if you've ever heard this, because I didn't hear about it until my daughter was doing it, but she was doing some kind of Priscilla dance when she was younger, and we were looking for another P name for the female cat, and I asked Sally, what about Priscilla, and she said, sure, that works. Wasn't a whole lot of thought process, but I guess I have my daughter to thank for it.
That's all right. Well, I think the cats, too, I think they just assume they have their own names anyway. You can call them whatever you want, but you know what? I only go by this in my head, you know?
That's right. That's a good point. We act like they understand it, and I'm not sure they do, and they certainly don't respond to their name like a dog would.
Well, Paul, I wish people could see you. You light up when you talk about them, and that's really cool. That's, I think, a big thing what animals bring to our lives. I appreciate your time on today's Celebrity Pet, and congratulations on all your success, too, there at King 5.
Thanks, Eric. Appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
You got it. And, ladies and gentlemen, listen for another Celebrity Pets where you discover why the biggest celebrities in our life are often our furry friends.
Team Donico Celebrity Pets is supported in part by Jerry and Lois Photography, where memories and dreams take flight. Learn more at jerryandlois.com.
Team Donny Co. hopes you enjoyed the Celebrity Pet interview. Be sure to listen for more on our upcoming shows and log on to DonnyCo.org to learn ways to help animals in need.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. Contests are the responsibility of the host of this program, and not KKNW. This is Alternative Talk 1150 AM, KKNW Seattle, and KNUC 98.9 HD3 Seattle.
And good Philly Monday morning to you. Benny Mathers here for a look at your Alternative Talk AM 1150 traffic update for around the sound. I-90 westbound just east of West Mercer Way around Milepost 6. A recent collision partially blocking the HOV lane. And it looks like state patrols have arrived on the scene and they are taking care of that situation. Stay tuned. Coming up next, that's the news and weather. It's Meet the Press.
This report is sponsored by Whole Foods Market.
NBC News Radio, I'm Lisa Taylor. By all accounts, it was a very good Black Friday on a nationwide basis. While numbers aren't in yet for traditional brick-and-mortar store purchases, online sales totaled more than $9 billion, and that's a record.
I think traffic was about what we expected it to be, maybe a little bit slower than last year, but that's because a lot of shoppers hit the stores and online sales early. A lot of the quote-unquote Black Friday sales started as early as early November.
That's Scott Shalley of the Florida Retail Federation. Today is Cyber Monday, and spending today is expected to hit a record. According to Adobe Analytics, U.S. online shopping is projected to top $11.2 billion. If the projection is correct, it would represent a 5.2% increase over last year's number. Prisoner swap negotiations with Russia are hitting a wall. A top American official said the U.S. has put forward a serious proposal in addition to other plans to free Brittany Griner and Paul Whelan. Elizabeth Rood said Russia has yet to come back with a serious response. The trial of a former Border Patrol agent accused of killing four women in 2018 is scheduled to start today. Michael Kastner has more.
Juan David Ortiz was initially going to face the death penalty, but the lead prosecutor recently took capital punishment out of consideration.
The number of Americans smoking cigarettes is reaching a record low. The new survey from Gallup number at just 11%. The decline was driven by fewer young adults lighting up. The world's largest active volcano is erupting. Mauna Loa on Hawaii's Big Island started erupting late last night. There's no threat to communities at this time. The eruption follows several weeks of increased seismic activity at and near the volcano. This is the first time the volcano has erupted in 38 years. Monday Night Football features two teams who are looking to turn their seasons around. The Indianapolis Colts are hoping to bounce back from their disappointing loss to the Philadelphia Eagles a week ago. Meantime, the Pittsburgh Steelers have lost three of their last four games. You're listening to the latest on NBC News Radio.
Take a break from cooking. At Whole Foods Market, hot 18-inch cheese pieces are $10 each through November 29th, just for Prime members, while supplies last. Shop in-store or online. Terms apply.
And let's go ahead and take a look now to Alternative Talk weather outlook for Monday. Well, we'll see mostly showers, but when those temperatures decrease from the highs of 36 into the lower 30s, we'll see mixed rain and snow showers in selected areas. That will continue for most of the day. We'll also have some wind out of the north and northwest at 10 to 15 miles per hour, gusting up to 20 in selected areas. Tonight, mixed rain and snow showers will continue, lows down to about 29. For Tuesday and the rest of the week, mixed rain and snow showers, high temperatures in the upper 30s to low 40s, and low temperatures just hovering around freezing.
This Sunday, my interview with former Vice President Mike Pence.
For me, the fuse was lit in mid-November.
His inside account of January 6th and how he broke with Donald Trump.
All I know is that what the president asked me to do, I would have violated my own constitution.
What do you think should happen now that Trump is running for office again?
I think a crime was committed. I don't know if it is criminal to listen to bad advice from lawyers.
His thoughts on the midterms.
We had some surprising and disappointing results.
And who he blames for Trump's election denial.
I was disappointed in Mark Meadows' performance as chief of staff.
Plus his criticism of Attorney General Merrick Garland for approving the FBI search of Trump's Florida home.
I have great concerns about his judgment and leadership at the Justice Department.
And his belief that the Supreme Court's decision overturning Roe v. Wade was the single most important achievement of the Trump administration.
I celebrate that from really the depths of my heart.
The former vice president opens up as he considers his own run for the White House. Joining me for insight and analysis are New York Times chief White House correspondent Peter Baker, Republican strategist Brendan Buck, Kimberly Atkins-Thor, senior opinion writer for the Boston Globe, and Anna Palmer, co-founder of Punchbowl News. Welcome to Sunday. It's Meet the Press.
From NBC News in Washington, the longest-running show in television history, this is Meet the Press with Chuck Todd.
Good Sunday morning. We are following the breaking news reports of a shooting overnight at a gay nightclub in Colorado Springs, Colorado. At least five people are dead, and another 18 so far are wounded. Police say the suspect was injured, is in custody, and is currently receiving treatment at a local hospital. The FBI is already on the scene and assisting local law enforcement. In a statement on their Facebook page, the club writes, "Club Q is devastated by the senseless attack on our community. We thank the quick reactions of heroic customers that subdued the gunman and ended this hate attack." Do stay tuned to NBC News for more updates on the shooting. You can get those at NBCNews.com as well. Turning now to politics. Republicans have taken back control of the House, squeaking into a narrow majority. But the biggest question after a disappointing midterm performance, the third disappointing election cycle in a row for the GOP, will Republicans rally behind Donald Trump yet again? 721 days before the next presidential election, Donald Trump became one of a small group of ex-presidents to announce he will again seek another term even after being defeated. Just one of those ex-presidents, Grover Cleveland, has been successful doing this. The timing of the announcement at his gated Palm Beach resort appears to be an effort to get ahead of several federal criminal investigations. And on Friday, in reaction, Attorney General Merrick Garland appointed a special counsel to take over investigations he was overseeing into the former president's role in the events leading up to the January 6th attack on the Capitol, as well as the former president's decision to retain classified government documents at Mar-a-Lago.
Based on recent developments, including the former president's announcement that he is a candidate for president in the next election, and the sitting president's stated intention to be a candidate as well, I have concluded that it is in the public interest to appoint a special counsel.
The attorney general's goal is to create some political distance between that investigation and obviously the Biden administration. That's the reason for this appointment. Jack Smith is a longtime federal prosecutor who has most recently been working at the International Criminal Court at The Hague. Now, if Trump falters in his presidential campaign, there are a handful of Republican hopefuls that are ready to challenge him, including his former vice president, Mike Pence. Pence's new memoir, So Help Me God, actually was out, perhaps not so coincidentally, the same day that his running mate, Donald Trump, announced. And he describes Trump's pressure campaign in the book on him to refuse to certify the 2020 elections, which of course culminated when rioters threatened Mike Pence's life. I spoke to the former vice president at the Reagan Presidential Library in Simi Valley, California, and I began by asking him about his likely run for president. The former president has said it's disloyal for some in the Republican Party to challenge him, and he's speaking about not just you, but Governor DeSantis, Secretary Pompeo. Do you accept the idea that running against him is disloyal?
I think the American people love competition. My loyalty is to my faith, to my values, and to America. And I think if we're a part of that debate next year, and our family will sort that out before the end of the year, Chuck,
right.
Or if we're just chipping in from the sidelines and others are in that contest, I think a good, healthy debate over the direction the country is warranted. I mean, since the first days of the Biden-Harris administration, it's almost seemed as though we have a new Democrat administration intent on weakening America at home and abroad, whether it's the disastrous withdrawal from Afghanistan, whether it be the gusher of spending that ignited the worst inflation in 40 years, the war on energy that's caused gasoline prices to go through the roof, a crime wave in our major cities. And of course, after undoing all the successful policies that secured our southern border, we now have the worst crisis on our southern border in American history. And so I truly do believe Republican primary voters want to hear a strong debate. They'll want to find our best standard bearer so that having won back the House, became official this last week, we'll have a chance to win back America in 2024.
You laid out a reason why you think
the Biden administration has led America down a path that you don't like. Why do you think voters didn't accept that premise in 2022? They clearly didn't in the battleground states. Why do you think that was?
Well, they did in many states around the country. It's in the state of New York, four new Republican congressmen elected may well be the margin of the majority itself. In the state of Iowa, for the first time in a half a century, they'll have all Republican members of the House of Representatives. But, Chuck, I take your point. A win is a win. I'm glad to see Kevin McCarthy will accept the gavel to be the next Speaker of the House, but I'd like to see more Republicans elected, and I'd like to see Republicans win the Senate and more governorships around the country. But for me, the common denominator had to do with whether or not candidates were focused on the future. As I traveled around the country...
It sounds like that's code for it, whether or not candidates were sort of in the Trump spell.
Well,
I think you're going to be polite. I understand that, but it does seem as what you're saying is anybody that is close to Trump didn't do well.
But I think it's broader than that, Chuck. For me, as I traveled, and I went to 35 states in the last year and a half, campaigning for all kinds of men and women, running for a statewide office and for the House and the Senate. And as I sort through the results, there really is a common denominator. Candidates that were focused on the issues that people are facing today and solutions for tomorrow, focused on the future, did quite well. But candidates that were focused on the past, candidates that were focused on relitigating the 2020 election, did not fare as well. And we had some surprising and disappointing results.
You stopped short of saying that the former president is unfit to serve again, but his former defense secretary, Mark Esper, says he's unfit for office. Another former defense secretary, Jim Mattis, says Trump has no moral compass. Bill Barr, the attorney general, he has neither the temperament nor the persuasive powers. Judge Luttick, somebody you admire, I know. Trump and his apologists are a clear and present danger to American democracy. Is he fit to serve as president of the United States for another 4 years?
Well, I really do believe that's a decision for the American people. And President Trump is now announced
your opinion,
his intention
don't you think
to seek
opinion
re-election?
Matters? To the American people? And how about this? The fact that you may run, are you sending that message without saying it?
Well, I'll keep you posted on whether I'm going to run or not. But I do think we'll have better choices. But what I won't do is I won't join those that want to dismiss the 4 years of our administration and all that we accomplished for the American people. And as I write in So Help Me God, the president's leadership was central to our success in everything that was accomplished, whether it be rebuilding our military or decisions he made as commander-in-chief to allow our armed forces to crush the ISIS caliphate and take out their leader, to allow our armed forces to take out Qasem Soleimani, a man responsible for the death of hundreds of American service members during the war in Iraq. And it was the president's vision to cut taxes and roll back regulation and his direct engagement on Capitol Hill with members of Congress that saw us pass the tax cuts and reforms that saw 7 million jobs created, unemployment at a 50-year low. And so the policies that, and energy and securing our border and three Supreme Court justices are all a great source of pride to